Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, continuing what we started to look at last week, continuing the topic of Satan's propaganda campaign. We entitled this last week, The Last-Ditch Strategy of a Losing Commander. He's already lost, but he doesn't want us to know that. I was talking with someone last week afterwards, and it was such an encouragement and good discussion. But this man told me, you know what? One of the strongest reasons for my strong faith in God is the fact that I am 100% confident that Satan is alive and real. He said, when there is no doubt in my mind that Satan is alive and real. And as hard as he attacks, as much as he does to distract and disrupt and cause chaos in my life, it strengthens my faith in God that much more, because I know if Satan's real, God is real. Amen. This passage is very similar to that. We're going to look at a lot of details, and I'll admit the introduction this morning or this evening is kind of long. So we will stand and read in a little bit, but Satan is alive and real. The events of this week point that out. Satan seems to be on the attack in many, many different areas. You look at basically the youngest person in this room to the oldest person in this room. We looked at last week how Satan has an organized strategy with ranks of influence to disrupt us as individuals. If we want to liken it to this, I don't know if it's literally like this, but it's almost as if he has a bio. He has a file on each and every one of us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to distract us. He knows how to disrupt us. He knows how to halt our influence. And he is doing all he can in his power with his influences and his demons and his to disrupt us. But if we had to summarize the message of this passage, it would be this: our God is stronger. Our God is strong, and he's given us the resources and availability that when we stand next to him, we can stand in a stable way and not fall. Not fall to discouragement, frustration, depression. We don't need to fall. We don't need to be distracted. We can be like Paul the apostle. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We can live with a heavenly, eternal mindset that gives us stability no matter what the circumstance around us. We look at the circumstances around us in our society today. You look at all the, it seems like every other week we're hearing about another mass shooting. We see a huge disrespect for any authority structure. Not just in the schools or at a job or in politics or with police or with any authority structure is under attack. Is disrespect. You look at the tragedy of abortion in our society. You look at civil unions, homosexuality, attack on biblical marriage. You look at this acceptance of drugs. You look at crime. On my phone just popped up. Another crime happened with this situation and this situation. You have those every day. Entertainment stars are getting more and more sensual, and they're getting away with it. Athletes and politicians are cheating, and it's all propped up by a corrupt media. It's an agenda. It's an organized attack against the glory of God and the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And the one behind it is Satan. It seems like an immoral, anti-God agenda is becoming more and more accepted, and that we as Christians are struggling at times to keep our heads and our convictions above water. You just look at examples in our church, physically, just cancer coming back to people like Mrs. Parker or Mrs. Klein or different back surgeries. You have physical, emotional, financial, spiritual hardships. You look at just our young people and all the way to the oldest. Distractions. We are enamored with an entertainment. We are enamored with TV, internet, smartphones, gaming, the latest movie, we're distracted. That reminds me of Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Satan is a master at clouding our perspective. And it's all based on his propaganda campaign. He has already lost the eternal battle. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, he lost. But he's not living like it. He's doing all he can to cause chaos and corruption. I know it'd take forever if I went through every single one of them, but the events in Cameroon this week reminds me a little bit of the story of Job. You know, Satan is alive and real. He loves to disrupt and discourage and ruin. I went back, I'm kind of weird like this, but I think it's good. I save all of our missionary prayer letters, and I try to get on as many missionary prayer letters as I can, and I actually read them, and I encourage you, read our missionary prayer letters and pray for them. But I save them in an email file. And I went back and I looked at all the Needham's prayer lists. Not all, not every single one of them, I'll admit that. But I looked at several from the last few years. And I wanted to read them. I'm not going to read them all because it'd take up the whole time. But I'll just highlight a couple. In July 26, 2015, prayer letter, Tom Needham says this, as the Lord enables by his power, presence, and promises, we endeavor to see the gospel for every person, a church for every village, and a pastor for every church. Aquia Outreach. The Lord abundantly blessed and all 100 plus Cameroonian and American people returned safely from arduous travels in the jungle to primitive villages by air, motorcycle, bush taxi, four-wheel drive vehicles, and days of hiking. And in bold, he writes, God answered prayer on a daily basis. Closed doors were opened. Satan was defeated. The Lord Jesus Christ was exalted. The word of God went forth and we rejoice to report that more than 1,000 people trusted in Jesus Christ. Nearly 300 were baptized and 25 new churches were established as our Lord answered prayer exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I could go on. I'll give you one more. In February 12th, 2016, Tom Needham writes this. Barb, my wife and I are truly thankful for all of you who so thankfully give and pray. Our motto is the gospel for every person, a church for every village, and a pastor for every church. The great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ is obeyed through winning souls, discipling new believers, starting new churches, and training leaders to multiply the work. Each phrase of this is so important. What a joy to see pastors here in Cameroon, such as pastors Felix, Ernest, Godlove, Chrysantis, Julius, Godfred, Gideon, Moses, Eugene, and others going on strong for the Lord, grounded in the Bible and training others to do the same. Thank you for praying for Kathy and Elizabeth as they traveled to Mbabo. God opened wonderful doors for them as they gave out many copies of John and Romans in the Fofoldi language, told many of the saving truth of Jesus Christ, and were well received everywhere they went. We look forward to opportunities to go back in this area of 99% Muslims who need Christ and his blood-bought salvation. Please pray that we can put airstrips in that area. It will be 1 hour of flying compared to 2 days of travel by road one way. This week, Bethany and Barb had the joy of leading a Fulani woman named Hajara to faith in Jesus Christ. Yesterday, Elizabeth went with a group of children and passed out many tracts at a National Youth Day event. God's word is going out. Satan was not going to take that. What did he do? Political, oh man, I can't discourage them. I can't disrupt them. They have a deep faith in God. Political uprising. Where are these pastors now? Their villages are burned down. They're in Nigeria. Satan is alive and real. He disrupts. And if you want to see a modern day example, not only in our society, but in Cameroon, Africa, Satan is alive and real, and he's doing all he can to disrupt, discourage, frustrate, and cause chaos. All because he hates the glory of God. He hates the advancement of Jesus Christ. So as Christians, how do we respond to this? Do we throw up the white flag? Do we get discouraged? Do we give in? Do we get frustrated? There is the element of human sadness. God did give us emotions. But let's look at this passage to tell us, how do we respond to this? The Shields sent out this week, they sent out a prayer letter with pictures of their school, their institute, thriving. And then we get this email, this message about Nathaniel Shields, their grandson in the hospital. Severe sinus infection. Maybe they thought he had brain damage. Disruption. Discouragement. Ellen Doyle, missionary in Cameroon, Africa. Successful. Thriving. Cancer. What about us? We may not be at that level of discouragement, but Satan knows how to disrupt us emotionally, relationship-wise, physically. Physical sickness or disease or tiredness, fatigue. Financially, Satan knows what gets our goat. Whether it be the young people with an enamoring of with tablets and devices or TV, or teenagers with Snapchat or Fortnite or Instagram or you name it. Whether it be adults with power or position or advancement or greed. Satan knows how we individually can be disrupted and discouraged and frustrated and distracted. Yes, we know that God is in control, but sometimes we feel like Job, under constant attack from Satan. I realize that this is exactly what Satan is doing with us. Satan is using an all-out propaganda campaign against Christians and against society. Last week we talked about it briefly, but I want to review it quickly. What is propaganda? Propaganda is been defined as this: biased information that is meant to shape opinions and behavior. It is a tool which is mainly used to weaken the morale and will of the enemy to fight. It is also used to strengthen the hope and resolve of people on your side. An example is Nazi Germany, masters of distraction and propaganda. They basically lulled the public of Germany into not only accepting a cruel, unbelievably evil, wicked agenda, but to passionately follow it and carry it out. Hitler, in particular, was a very gifted and influential speaker. Even though he was very wrong and his teachings would lead Germany to do unbelievably wicked, destructive things, the people listened, believed, and were basically brainwashed into following what he said. Adolf Hitler, a former German soldier and leader of an obscure extremist party in Bavaria, talked about propaganda. He wrote 5 years after, 5 years after the First World War, he wrote this: propaganda is a truly terrible weapon in the hands of an expert. Satan loves to trick and mold our thinking into thinking that we are on the losing side. Satan is doing the same thing with us. He wants to weaken our morale. He wants to ruin our resolve. He wants to embolden his influences. He wants to immobilize our efforts. He wants to destroy our confidence. He's doing all he can to hurt the glory of God and the cause of Christ. It's obvious. So what do? Our natural response at times can be to throw in the towel, raise the white flag, sulk in depression and discouragement. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. That's exactly what God does not want us to do. Let's not play into Satan's strategy here. Let's see how the Bible says we should respond. Let's all stand out of respect for God's word and follow along as I read Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18. It says this, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the stability and resources that you give us. Lord, I pray that we would trust your word. We would have a deep confidence and faith in your resources and your ability. Thank you so much for not just throwing us to the wolves, but to giving us your Holy Spirit, your word, giving us the armor of God to be able to stand in the evil day. Lord, I believe we are in the evil day. And I pray that you would help us to better understand and internalize this passage so that we can stand, having done all, stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to look at three main realities. We looked at two of them last week. I'll review them quickly. If we don't finish tonight, I'll just move on later. But I do want to try to keep them together because they are one thought. Three spiritual realities to help us fight through the propaganda of Satan. Through these three realities, and here's the main point in your notes tonight, we will learn that we must be aware of Satan's attacks, but be more aware of God's battle plan. If we stick to the plan, God promises us victory. The first reality that we must understand is, number one, Satan is determined to ruin us. Satan hates God. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates us, our blessings, our influence. He'll do anything within his power to destroy and ruin our effectiveness for God. For 2 Corinthians 2, 1 through 1 and 11, I'm not going to go through it all, but verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He uses discouragement, feeling overwhelmed, as a propaganda tool to distract us from the fact that we're winning. Last week we looked at Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Elijah had just won under the power of God against the prophets of Baal. Talk about a spiritual high and confidence. But what did Satan do? Discouraged, manipulated, twist, tripped him up. In chapter 19, right after this great victory, he's praying in the desert that God would take his life. So the Christian battleground, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Here's a thought. If you understand your Christian wealth, we've looked at Ephesians chapter 1, chapters 1 through 3. Incredible blessings that we have that God has showered upon us. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us grace, and he's given us faith, and he's given us so much. And then verses 4 through 6, if we understand our Christian wealth, we'll back it up logically with our Christian walk, our lifestyle, chapters 4 through chapter 6, verse 9. And if we're walking or living a genuine Christian walk, we're going to face Satan's attacks. Satan's not going to just stand by and let us make an impact for God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 describes the battlefield that we are in. It lays out what we just talked about. It points out that we're in a war, not a honeymoon. A lot of times we as Christians, and even in our society today, we think, oh, we've been given this wonderful grace, and it is so true, and we have so much stability, and we have so much power, and it is wonderful. The grace of God, the resources that we have, the peace that passeth all understanding, and we think and we have this mindset that we're on this honeymoon. But what we don't realize is we're on the battlefield. So what do we have? Number one, we have the preparation. Strength in the Lord. This is related to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't act like you're walking through a wildflower meadow. You're on a battleground. Don't waltz through the meadow. In order to be prepared, we need to stay as close to our leader as possible. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can go through any circumstance, hard or good. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The idea is the closer we are to Christ, the more trust and faith and stability we have with Christ, the more strength we're going to have to stand in the battle. It reminds me of, I'm so thankful for my wife. Last night, we all got our extra hour of sleep, daylight savings time. I joked that I didn't turn my clocks back, so for 6 months, I am living in the future. But last night, as a parent, we are so grateful for this 1 hour of extra sleep. Lydia did not get the memo. She decided to use up that hour of sleep by keeping my wife awake. And fortunately, I have Lydia trained well enough where she doesn't come to my side of the bed. She goes to Janae's side of the bed. I faked heavy sleep long enough, all right? But Lydia comes to Janae's side of the bed and says, Mommy, Mommy, I'm scared. So what did she do? She wants to be, it's the natural reaction, when you are faced with an enemy or an attack, what's the natural reaction? Get as close to the Savior, the safety, as possible. Just like a child is scared of the dark, scared of the closet, scared, it's our natural reaction, but a lot of times we as Christians, we see this world around us, we see and Satan is discouraging and disrupting and tripping us up. What happens? We try to do it on our own. And what this passage is saying is, find your strength in the Lord. When you're scared or discouraged or tripped up, you're in chaos, run to the commander. Stand as close to him as you can. And you're a little kid and you have a bully picking on you and you have your older brother in the school or older brother with you or close to you. What do? You run to your older brother and all of a sudden that big bully backs off. All right? Jesus is our big brother. He's strong. He's powerful. He gives us stability. We have a kid's book. I don't even remember the name of it, but it's about this little lamb that's been warned not to leave the farm. And as he's leaving his mom, and he's wandering the farm because he's curious, he's constantly told by the horse and the pig and the cow and all the different farm animals, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. Go back to safety. And all of a sudden, it's a wolf saying, you shouldn't be here. All right, and then they end the book. I don't know. But the little lamb runs back to his mom for safety. What's the thought? I think it's a lot of times as Christians, we just mindlessly go through life, not understanding the fact that Satan and reality that Satan is out to destroy and ruin us. He wants to trip us up. And we always have these warnings. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. The Holy Spirit is prompting us. Hey, this is not a good situation. This is not. All of a sudden we face the devourer. Where should we run? Back to the Savior. Back to safety. Back to the Lord. So I'm just going to read through these and go through them quickly for sake of time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then verse 2, the second point, the provision, the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And then number 3, the enemy. that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods, the cunning craftiness of the devil. Then verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, here's different ranks of the evil influences, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the battle is against demons. This point is pointing out that our biggest dangers are not the things that we can see, but the things that are spiritual. Satan has a whole army with ranked officers who are organized in attacking. I don't know how this works. None of us know how the details of this works. But you can imagine how there's a group of demons whose sole priority is to disrupt the politics of a nation, or to disrupt the youth of a nation, or to disrupt the entertainment, or the sources, or the emotions, or the finances, or this, or that. And the individuals that are going against us. We don't know how this works out, but what this passage indicates is that Satan has many different tactics with an organized strategy and different ranks that are out to destroy us. The battle is against the spiritual realm. And then finally, verse 13, we have the victory. How do we defeat this? How do we beat this? Standing firm. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God has given us the armor that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I mean, we can't be complacent. Stand firm and on constant guard against the devil and his influences. Don't prepare when the attack happens. Be well prepared before the attack happens. So here's the application. Satan is out to destroy us, to get us. If we're living the way a Christian should live, Satan will use his influences to frustrate, discourage, and trip us up. We are in an all-out battle against Satan. But we already know that God will win the war and has given us the armor to handle the attacks of the devil. So the questions we have to ask ourselves is this: are we going it alone, or are we as close to this commander, our commander, as possible? And are we so lukewarm in our Christianity that Satan doesn't care about us? Maybe, well, I haven't been facing the satanic attacks. I'm good. Well, maybe we're not doing what we should be doing with the Great Commission and the Great Command. If so, we need to wake up and look around. That's earlier in Ephesians. Wake up. Don't be sleepwalking Christians. We must realize that the Christian life is not always a field of roses. It's a battleground with mines and snipers, spiritual mines and spiritual snipers. Be aware of it and stay close to the commander. Then the second spiritual reality in this passage is that God has given us equipment to defend against Satan's attacks and tactics. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this: For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the Christian's defensive battle equipment, his armor. This passage and several others show that Satan is out to destroy us. The bottom line is this: you've been given the necessary battle equipment by God. Now make sure it's on right and use it effectively. 2 Timothy 2:3 says this: thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This Ephesians 6, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Corinthians 10, 1 Peter 5 is a reinforcement of a soldier battlefield theme in Scripture. So what are these? It's so encouraging that God didn't just say, I've saved you, and throw us out to the wolves. He's given us the resources to stand. What are they? The belt. He says, hold everything together tightly with truth, having your loins girt about with truth. We looked at last week, God's truth is already a part of you through Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then God's truth should be tightened up in our lives and lived out. We looked at that last week, so I'm not going to go into it this week. And the breastplate. Defend your spiritual heart and vital organs with righteousness. Two things about that. God has already clothed you in the righteousness through Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Positionally. But practically, we, by living out God's righteousness in our daily lives, protect our vitals from Satan's accusations and attacks. Won't go further into that. We did that last week. Number three, the cleats. Be firmly planted in the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, positionally, God has already given us peace with him and others through the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 2 and 3 point that out. Now we must be firmly planted in the gospel which brings peace by living peace. Number four, the shield. Taking the shield of faith, having a deep faith in the security that God provides. That shield in Roman culture was not only defensive, it was actually also offensive. But that is what the faith, the deep confidence and trust we have in God, is what's able to help us withstand against the fiery darts of the wicked one. We've already taken up the shield of faith at salvation, positionally, but now practically, constantly use it in our everyday lives. Satan's waiting for us to lower our faith and trust in God. That's when he can attack us. So then, number five, we have the helmet. Being secure in our salvation will help save you in the everyday battle with Satan's forces. Verse 17, the first part says this, and take the helmet of salvation. You've already been given eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Once again, positionally, salvation, we're secure. Now have a constant, conscious possession of your eternal security in the middle of the onslaughts of Satan's forces. That's a thought. This gives us confidence of safeness during the assault. You look at this over and over and over again in Scripture. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, David, the Apostle Paul, and Job, and many, many others. What did they have? Faith. That God would take care of them. You look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. It really, that whole context. The Apostle Paul, while in prison, says this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm confident in my salvation. It's the helmet that protects me from the onslaughts. I'm living with an eternal mindset." Charles Wesco, as sad as we are, the sting of death is gone, as 1 Corinthians 15 points out. Why? He's in heaven. What a glorious thing. The Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Romans 8, 28 through 39. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And then verses 30, really that whole passage, I wish we had time to go into it. I encourage you to look it up. What a comfort in our salvation. And we know that, and we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it says, neither death. And it gives a long list of things. Our eternal mindset gives us strength in the battle. Matthew 6, 25 through 34, his hand is on the sparrow. Man, another foundational passage that gives us confidence is Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I challenge you to look it up. If we had time, we'd read through these passages. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Laying up treasures in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. So a confidence in our salvation, our eternal security and our eternal mindset allows us to stand strong when facing hardship and bad circumstances. So then the third spiritual reality of this passage spiritual resource, spiritual understanding, reality is this. God has given us weapons to attack Satan's tactics and strategies. Verses 17b and 18 says this, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then it goes on. Notice it's not a period at the end of verse 17. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's the idea? A lot of people say we only have one offensive weapon, the sword. No, we have more. So the first, a parallel passage of this, John 14 through 16. Jesus, right before his death and ascension and resurrection, he told his disciples, hey, don't be scared. I'm with you. Acts 1:8, I'm with you always. Matthew 28:19, even unto the end of the world. John 16:7 says this, nevertheless, Jesus is telling his disciples, his followers, us, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Next verse, verse 33, at the end, and really John 16, an incredible comfort. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, chaos. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The thought is that God didn't just say, save us and say, here you go, throw us out into the wolves. He gave us the resources to be able to handle the difficulties that we face. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 10. A lot of times we just focus on 7 and 8. But let me read these to you quickly. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. God loves us. He cares about us. He hasn't just thrown us out to the wolves. Be sober. Be vigilant. Parallel with Ephesians 6. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, establish, strengthen, settle you, stabilize you is the thought. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We get persecuted at work. We get mocked when we take a stand. Embrace it. Live with eternity in mind. So let's look at these offensive weapons. The Christian's offensive battle equipment, the weapons. Number one is the sword. Knowing God's word empowers the Holy Spirit to help us defeat Satan's forces. Look at the the second part of verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. You know what's an important point is this is not Logos word of God, the written word of God. This is Rhema word of God, which is the spoken, used, brought out word of God. God has given us both offensive and defensive weapons by giving us the Bible. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The utilization, the opportunity, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the spoken word of God. You want to look at an illustration of this, Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus is tempted, what did he say? Every time Satan threw a temptation or an accusation or an hardship at Jesus Christ, what did he do? He responded with the Rhema spoken word of God. A lot of times we see that picture of the armor of God with this soldier with this huge sword in his hand, like a Goliath sword or a William Wallace sword, all right? This huge sword. That's not the sword being talked about here. It's more the size of like a machete. It's more the size of a smaller, skillful dagger is the idea used. Without getting into details, the Greek word is not the big sword, it's the smaller, skillful sword. So what's the idea? When we utilize the Word of God, we first must know God's Word, we must then internalize God's Word, and when we want to be empowered in the fight, in the stand, with our faith, what do we need to do? We need to utilize and respond by using God's Word, God's spoken Word. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our memory verse for Sunday school, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then goes on, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God's word is what empowers us in our stand. When we know and use God's word, the Holy Spirit is empowered in our lives, both offensively and defensively. When I think of what this analogy is like, it's much like a jungle. Mr. Aguiar was explaining to me Vietnam, I love spending time with Mr. Aguiar. He goes into stories and talks about it. But he was explaining how in Vietnam he's going through this jungle and it's bamboo shoots, and he took a picture and it's literally bamboo like crazy, and you can't walk anywhere. You have to whack your way through it. Or the jungles of the Amazon, or you think of jungle atmosphere, and you have these vines all around you, and you're struggling to get through. In many ways, that's like our world and our society today. Satan has entangled and distracted and manipulated and completely tried to withhold the glory of God and the advancement of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we get struggled in it, and we get frustrated with these circumstances, and we're bound up, and a lot of times we just want to quit. But what does he say? No, don't quit. Use the word of God. Use that machete. So anytime you're using the word of God, you're whacking away at Satan's kingdom. That's why I love to preach or share the gospel or whatever. What are you doing? Every time you share God's spoken word of God, you're whacking away at the vines of Satan's power and influence. That's the idea of this. Use the word of God, the spoken word of God. Utilize it. That's a resource that God has given us to not only defend, but attack the empowerment and domination of Satan and his kingdom, his power. God's word is what allows us to power through the entanglements of the devil. The sword, part two, prayer. And I'll summarize verse 18. We'll look at verses 18 through 20 next week. So I'll go through these next points quickly. Number two, the sword, part two. God's spoken word through prayer. Remember, it's a semicolon. It's a continued thought. Not only should you have the spoken word of God, but you should have the spoken communication with God. Prayer is vital for personal and group strength. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Remember the context of Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6, the Holy Spirit resourcing us, guiding us, teaching us? Prayer. I think if this was written in a modern time frame, this would be utilized as another piece of the battle equipment. It would be the intercom, the radio, the earpiece, if you wanted to call it that. Utilize the earpiece that God has given you, the communication aspect. Obviously, they didn't have earpieces and walkie-talkies and that kind of stuff back in Roman culture, all right? But prayer, if this was written, it would be classified as a radio or earpiece. What this is saying is that we must be always keep our radios, our earpiece, our spiritual connection on. Never turn it off. Always keep a clear line of communication between you and the commander. How many times do you struggle with things throughout the day? And your natural reaction is, God, I need help with this one. God, I need your strength. I need your wisdom, Lord. I don't know. Lord, I need your patience. Lord, I need peace in this situation. Lord, this person just attacked me verbally. I need your help in my response. May your Holy Spirit help and guide me as I respond to this situation. I just got a nasty text or email or review or whatever it be. Lord, help me. I need your strength. Then the Holy Spirit infuses us with knowledge and empowerment. That's the idea here. Always have an open line of communication with your God. Just like breathing, a Christian should automatically be in a constant communication with God in every circumstance of his life. Realize then that he is with us at all times, and we have the comfort and opportunity to communicate with him at all times. I think the hardest time to get distracted is when you're having personal Bible study in God's word. What happens? A text or an alert or something or a distraction or a thought. Oh, I need to do this way. You know one of the best things to do? Pray for it right then and there. Lord, John Doe just sent me a text. I pray that you'd help him in his day right now. I pray that you'd point him to you. But what happens? Slowly those distractions stop coming. It's weird like that. Why? Satan knows he can't use that tactic anymore. Application is this. Don't ignore your God. He's with you. He's your best friend. Take the opportunity to talk with him. The sword, part number 3. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Alertness is a must for the battle. Are we alert to the tactics of Satan? Are we keeping our mind and our fellow soldiers and our own needs? We need to be alert how the devil is impacting both ourselves and our fellow church members. We need to realize that we are a team. Remember, the idea of all of these things are plural, not singular. We need to realize that we are a team. We need to watch out for each other. Being alert. Know not only how Satan uses his tactics on you as an individual, your weaknesses. Help support the others in the body of Christ, your fellow Christians. And then the sword, part 4, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance is a mindset that strengthens our effectiveness. No matter what happens, I'm going to stand strong. No matter if my spouse gets shot in the head, no matter if I'm diagnosed with cancer, no matter if I go bankrupt, no matter if all my friends reject me, no matter if I get cursed at the door, no matter if I lose my job for taking a stand or doing what's right ethically, or no matter if I'm going to persevere, stand. Winston Churchill, never, never, never give in. You know, it's commonly, I looked into this quote, amazing quote. After the World War II, and a lot of people say that it was at a commencement speech, and those are all he said. He said never, when asked to speak, he stood up, several students, and he just said this, never, never, never give up. But the truth is he went on to speak some more, all right? But that is the thought. Don't give up, no matter what. Persevere in the battle. Next week we'll finalize the rest of this passage, verses 19 through 20. So what? Conclusion, bottom line. We must realize that we're in an all-out battle against Satan and his forces. We must also realize that our commander has equipped us with everything necessary to win, to stand. God has promised us the victory if we will simply use the equipment that he has already given us, if we use it effectively. So the questions for us, application questions, are you alert and aware of the fact that Satan is out to destroy you? Satan is alive and real, and he has a tactic for you as an individual to distract and destroy you. Next, are you dedicated to God's truth, living righteously, focusing on the gospel, living with faith in God, secure in your salvation, wielding God's word as your sword, constantly in communication with the commander? Does that describe your life? We must be aware of Satan's attacks, but more aware of God's battle plan. If we stick to the plan, God promises us victory. I'm reminded last week of Tom Landry, the great coach. You lost because you didn't stick to the plan. I wonder how many times God wants to say that to us. According to verse 13, why has God given us armor? That we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Are we standing strong? How is Satan's propaganda working on us? Are we receiving it and ending up discouraged, depressed, and frustrated as a result? Are we receiving Satan's propaganda? How is your resolve? Are you solidly grounded in the truth and resources of God? Let's pray. Lord, it's quite apparent that Satan is alive and real and wants to destroy us and ruin us. Ruin our effectiveness, ruin our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving, our glorifying of you. Lord, thank you for giving us the resources to stand strong. Thank you that you've promised to be with us through the battle. Thank you for faith. Thank you for trust. Thank you for the righteousness and the peace that we have. Lord, I pray that we would have a deep passion to learn your word in a deeper, more intimate way so that we can use it in battle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.